It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Hey, Phil Goff, the mayor, that rhymes with whiteware. We're just having an argument in the studio. Can you just clear this up for us before we start our chat? Is a fridge considered whiteware?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is, Tess. I'm sorry, Tess. I'm sorry, it is, Tess. It is.
I am wrong.
It's not about being wrong. It's just about getting the right facts.
Anyway.
Phil Goff, the mayor of Auckland, our final chat together. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Nate. And before we get into the chat, hey, 25 years association with BFM, fantastic, mate, and really enjoyed the chat over the last 2 years. So we're going to miss you.
I really appreciate your input too, Phil. You've always been there, and you've always made a solid effort to have a chat with us, and I really appreciate that, and I've enjoyed it as well.
Yeah.
I'll give you a big cuddle if you're here.
Yeah, I would. Big man hug. No, fantastic job you've done, Mikey, and thank you for, the work that you've done on the station and how you've done it. It's always good having a chat with you, and it's a good, relaxed style, too. Occasionally, you get me to say things I shouldn't, and I get into trouble.
Well, that time with those visitors at that time.
Yeah, I think I called them a bad word, and it kind of resonated across the media.
Funny that we didn't even notice it here.
I just got off the phone, I think, from the police, and I just
hot-headed.
Worked out what the track record of these guys had been, and they're just making their way around the country, bludging and ripping the country off, and leaving me a litter around the place. So I called them what I thought of them at the time.
I heard someone. You're someone whose opinion I respect, Phil. Whether I agree with you all the time is at the point, but I do respect your opinion. Someone I heard another radio announcer say this week that once a year, Phil, when it comes to election time, Phil Goff reaches into a drawer and finds a pair of balls, and tore some strips off the Auckland Transport. What was all that about?
Oh.
Firstly, the guy who says that wouldn't know what he's talking about in that respect anyway.
No, I can assure him he's wrong on that. AT, Auckland Transport, set up as what's called a council-controlled organisation, but what that really means in terms of legislation is that it's at arm's length from government, from local government, from the council, and it makes its own decisions independently on operational matters. Now, that's fine, but if you make the decisions, then you've got to be prepared to front up and justify those decisions. And they didn't do that. They had there was a meeting of 600 people in St. Helier's. And when you get a meeting of 600 people, you know that what you're advocating is not going to be well received in the community. So if that's the case, you front up and you have it out with the community. You explain your position, you listen to theirs, you front up and you find a solution. And for them not to turn up at that meeting was absolutely unacceptable. And that's basically what I said. You know, they have to carry the community with them. Even if they're not elected directly, they've still got to carry the community with them. And not to be accountable to the community wasn't good enough. And I set that out pretty bluntly.
It's not that the community itself are just a bunch of busybodies?
Well, it's there were a lot of people involved in the community there. And, there are rights and wrongs on both sides. Auckland Transport's quote about safety factors, and that piece of road has had, 38 accidents over a period of time. And what the community was saying, yeah, we're worried about safety too, but we're not sure that your solutions are going to solve those particular problems. And then that means you've got to have a dialogue. Sit down with them and say, well, okay, how do we deal with this? What's the best way through? You don't want to lose parking spaces, which would happen if you elevated the pedestrian crossings, etc.
Right.
And you try to find a solution, but you don't ignore the community. You're part of the community, you're accountable to them, you're responsible to them, and you front up.
Tell us about the Queen's Wharf decision. What's happened there? What's happened?
Queen's Wharf decision was pretty clear cut, actually, in terms of it went before three independent hearing commissioners, and I'm told that the chair of those hearing commissioners was the guy that led the legal action against the port company expanding out into the harbour. So,
which is what you wanted? You wanted the
exactly. Yeah. I didn't want the port company reclaiming the extra hectares of land that they want to. You'd end up being able to drive from the port to Devonport if they kept on that. But they looked at the dolphins, and the dolphins are basically concrete boys.
Yeah, we've talked about what they are. What happened?
Well, they said, yep, the effect on the environment. impairment is relatively minor and can be mitigated or avoided, and the benefits to Auckland in terms of economic and social benefits are very real. You know, one of the
days, is that going to affect your re-election? That sort of thing.
You've got to do what you think is right. One of the guys that attacked me on that said, oh, I was in the pocket of the corporate. And this is a guy that had signed up a list of worthy people, including, you know, Sir Michael Fay and Sir Ralph Norris, that were captains of industry that didn't want it, you know, presumably because they lived down that way and they thought it might obstruct their view. But as the report pointed out, this is going to create 669 jobs for low-income Aucklanders. Now, and, you know, and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of income. Well, you know, I've got to represent the whole of Auckland and not just those wealthy enough to say we object to this. It's a 15-year dolphin until we get a permanent solution for the cruise ships. It's not going to cause major problems. It's removable. It's going to have a relatively low impact on the wider environment. And the whole nature of governance is that you weigh up things. You know, what are the economic and social benefits? What are the environmental effects? How do you get the balance between those? And, you know, while I wouldn't have had a walkway out to the dolphins, which the ports have insisted upon, you know, the impact will be relatively minor compared to the benefits, and it will be relatively short-term.
All right. Finally, Phil, because I know you've got to get going, just a quick thought on changing the port, changing the freight port up to either Northland or Tauranga. That's been getting a bit more traction again, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's what you call a multi-billion dollar question.
Surely for Auckland, it's fine. We could do without that much traffic, that much business. It's all going to come down here at some stage or another, or up here, isn't it?
The real challenge is that obviously the coalition partners of the government want to have, they'd like to have Auckland's port facilities in Northport. To do that, there are two problems that you've got to address. One is that you have to spend billions of dollars on the infrastructure. New rail line across Auckland, a new rail line, new tunnels up to Whangarei, a spur line out to the port, and then building the port facilities up there. And the billion-dollar question is, does the government believe that that sort of investment is required? Would I like to see the port out of the centre of Auckland? Yes, I would, because that would open up for new opportunities. But we also need to protect the value that Aucklanders have invested in that port. And that's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and it returns a dividend of tens of millions of dollars. So what I'm saying to them is, let's work out whether there's a business case for moving it, where the best alternative site is, and how do we protect the value of the investment that Aucklanders, residents and ratepayers have made in the port company itself. Because you can't just take the port office and say, that's tough, we'll give it to somebody else.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Phil, thank you very much for talking to us. I know you've got to go. It's been a great pleasure having you on the Breakfast Show. And you're going to be carrying on the Breakfast Show. Good job. Okay, good.
Yep.
But you won't be with me, so I wish you a good day, sir, and I shall see you at the next barbecue.
Okay. Look after yourself, mate.
Thank you, Phil Goff. Good day.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.